و دیگر صلوات
اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد.
خوشنود امام زمانہ صلوات
اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية ابتداء ولا لأغرية انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن صلح معرفته وردعت قدمة بالعقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أنقذ الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللحظة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أراد أن يكون أقوى الناس فليتوكل على الله. صلوات Actually, the Prophet has said that من أحب أن يكون أقوى الناس فليتوكل على الله. Our conversation in these nights is regarding the ingredients of success, عوامل السعادة. And tonight I will talk about the concept of tawakkul and reliance upon Allah in it, which is one of the factors that is instrumental for human success. Tawakkul is a value of Islamic morality, which means that we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the result after fulfilling our fariba. If somebody did not fulfill, he said salawat. If someone did not fulfill the fariba and duty towards Allah, there is no room to rely about receiving the result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already sent down the sharia, the rulings from the alamul ghayb, the unseeable world, on the qalb and soul of the Prophet, and asked us to do all these things, do's and do nots of Islam. Unless and until a person follows the final sharia of the Holy Prophet, which is the final word and nothing is going to come after it, which get invalidated, we cannot expect the results to happen. So the whole concept of tawakkul and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is regarding the natija and result of our actions. So there is no room for a human being to say that he cares about the result. In Islam, we don't care about the nataij. Any Shia, any mu'min, any Muslim who cares about the natija and result can never succeed in his life. Period. We must understand the seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. That Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam has been teaching us to focus on our fariza, our duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and leave the result on Allah to handle. This is Allah's domain. Let's not penetrate into His domain. Let's not try to handle what Allah is supposed to do. Even if we try to handle, we are not going to get any result, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed us. So what we are supposed to understand and keep in our mind, brothers and sisters, as we are talking about the concept of tawakkul in Islam, is that we do our fariza and leave the result upon Allah. This is how we are going to succeed. If we don't focus on the fariza and we start focusing on the result, we can never succeed in our lives. There are so many people in our Muslim community and our own mu'min community who are natija focused instead of fariza oriented. We need to be fariza oriented humans. This is what the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt has been teaching us, to focus on our fara'im, not to care about the results. Imam Hussain al Islam never cared about the results of his qiyam. Whether he dies or he survives, he doesn't care about that. He cares about difa and protection of Islam, which is his fariza. Isn't that right? That's why Islam survives. If Imam Hussain al Islam was also caring about, like some people in the Muslim community, when you talk to them, that you need to do this and this and this. There's no, if we do this, this is going to happen. So forget about what is going to happen. You talk about the teacher, what is going to happen. So you are the teacher focused in your life. That means you are ignoring your duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of the result and the leader. None of the prophets of God throughout the history of Islam ever focused on the natija in their lives. All the prophets of God and all the awliya, salamullahi alayhim ajma'in, all the deputies of the prophets and all the imams, they always focused on their fara'id and duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, bring his wife Hajar to Mecca. In those days, Mecca was not even a city. Isn't that right? It was a desert. And there was no construction of Kaaba taking place yet, because Kaaba was constructed by Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi wa salam when Prophet Ismail became a young man. Isn't that right? After several years. By the time that Hazrat Ibrahim brought his wife Hajar to this locality, there was no Kaaba. Isn't that right? And Hazrat Hajar asked the question to her husband, that to whom are you, giving us in the custody of whom, in other words? And who asked you to bring us here? It's just a burning sand, burning desert. Nobody is living here. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam replied back, by the command of Allah. That means I brought you here upon the command of Allah. When this mu'mina hears this response, she says, okay, go. He's not going to waste us. When it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another one who is asking you to bring me here, then he's not going to waste. Is that right? Another hadith says in Rabaha, لا يضيع أولياءه. Allah does not name His beloved servant. Where Imam Ali al-Salam teaches us that that we should not be over careful, overly showing our more than necessary attention towards the case. Isn't that right? He says that we learn in the light of that hadith that the parents are supposed to focus on their fariza to Allah.
Some people are gathering up the money and piling up the money so that they can give more money to their children. This is caring about the kids more than what you were required. Who asked you to think of those lives? The same Allah who is sustaining you and providing risks to you, do you think the same Allah cannot provide risks to your kids? What we were supposed to provide our children was the adab and tarbiyah and Islamic morality and upbringing that we were supposed to focus more than leaving money for them. Because Imam Ali al-Islam says, خَيْرُ مَا وَرَّثَ الْآبَاءُ الْأَبْنَاءَ الْأَدَبْ. The best of what the parents can leave behind as inheritance for their children is adab, Islamic etiquette and morality, moral values. This is what we need to focus on. Some parents are focusing on more than what they were required. And Imam Ali al-Islam says that in Ghana, if your children are awliya Allah, if they are the beloved servants of Allah, Allah is not going to waste His beloved servants. If your children are not the awliya Allah, then fama hakuka bi a'da'i Allah. Why are you giving importance to the enemies of Allah? See, there are only two options. Either your kids are one of the beloved servants of Allah, or awliya Allah, part of awliya Allah, or your kids are part of a'da'ullah, enemies of Allah. What we are supposed to do as parents is to make them awliya Allah. And then leave the rest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talk about tawakkul, doing our fariza, leaving the results of God. What we as parents are required to do in Islam is to make certain that we are upbringing our children in such a way that they fall in the category of awliya Allah, beloved servants of God. The rest is up to Allah to take care and take it from there. So we find that Al-Hadr alayhi salam replied back to her husband, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and go, let me go back, and there is nothing to worry about, in other words, because Allah is not going to waste us. We believe in our Ibn Ashari, Trevor, Imami religion, that all the fathers and all the mothers of all the prophets of God and all the Imams are Tahirun Mutahhar, all of them are clean from the sins. All of them, throughout the lineage, you go to the whole Genesis, up till the eldest great great grandfathers and great grandmothers, all of them are Tahir and Mutahhar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yadkhulukum min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been transferring you, Ahlul Bayt, from the sulb of the clean fathers, wa min al-hamil mutahharat, and from the rahims and the wombs of the clean mothers. Throughout the history, these personalities, the nur of Ahlul Bayt, have been transferred through the fathers and mothers, and all of them in the entire lineage were tahirun mutahhar, they have been clean from the pain. So her father is the mother of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, who is the great grandfather of Rasulullah, carrying the nur of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt in his soul, in his lineage. How can Allah waste Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam and waste Hazrat Hadar salam alayha? She had Hazrat Ibrahim left, and obviously she had a little bit of date in a bag with her, and some water in the water can, and how long are the dates going to last, and how long is the water going to last? The date ended and the water ended. And finally, she is a mother, and the baby is like, a breastfed baby, And the baby Ismail is crying. The mother is upset and worried. She goes to the Mount Safa to find out if there is, because you are in the high elevation, you can see if there are some caravans passing by and you can borrow water from them. She finds nobody. She goes all the way to the Mount Marwa to look for some caravan from that side, and she still finds nobody. She hears a voice coming from the Safa. So again she came all the way to the Mount Safa, goes on the mountain to see about what was the voice, where was the voice coming from. And there was nobody. Again she hears a voice from Marwa, some voice coming. So she goes all the way back to Marwa. 7 times Hazrat Khadr transferred herself from one mountain to the other, so between Safa and Marwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked it. Practice of Hazrat Khadr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah liked her behavior so much that Allah included in the manasik and the wajib pillar of Hajj, wajib necessary duties of Hajj for the rest of the generations to follow and emulate Hazrat Khadr. This is the sunnah of Hazrat Khadr that Allah liked. So finally our scholars say she went 7 times between the two mountains but could not find water. And now there's the hope and raja and umeed. The hope of Hazrat Khadr got disconnected from all the creatures and all the humans. And now that she turns towards Allah only, that's where she hears the voice of Jibreel coming. And Jibreel's wings voice was heard. And there are several aqwal in the several statements of the Mufassireen talking about this incident. And some say that Jibreel strike, he put his wing under the feet of Hazrat Ismail, and that's how the fountain came out. And some Mufassireen say, no, it was actually Jibreel holding the feet of Hazrat Ismail and striking it on the ground. Whatever be the case, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when her hope was disconnected from the creature and she turned solely and completely towards Allah, that's where you find the concept of tawakkul getting enforced. Tawakkul means intidaa' an ghayr Allah, breaking away totally from everyone and anything other than Allah and relying about the result completely on Allah alone, not any person or anything, after fulfilling your fariba. That's what tawakkul is all about. So tawakkul is not when you did not fulfill your fariba. It is called tawakkul in Arabic. Tawakkul means you are shedding away your burden and putting it and transferring your duty and obligation on somebody else's shoulder and expecting him to do it, and you are showing a lazy behavior. This is called tawakkul. This is called tawakkul. And that's what some people are doing when you ask them, why did you do your duties towards the Tawud? Why did you do your duties towards the Zalim? Why didn't you even raise your voice and stand up and say no to the world? They said, oh, if we do this, this is going to happen to us. All this mentioning the Nabija. Is that right?
I remember in the incident of Imam Khomeini one day, when he was coming from, when he announced that he was going to come back from Paris, and Shapur Bakhtiar, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was holding the chair as an interim prime minister in Iran,
he announced that he was going to install service to air missiles
at the Mehrabad airport of Tehran. And Imam Khomeini had announced that I need to go back. So here, that's where we learn, you know. That's where we learn how our scholars, our ulama, our kibar, our buzurgan-e-deen, our great personalities of the religion have behaved on the footsteps and seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, showing their tawakkul. This is what we learn. So, he announced that I need to go back, because he was fariza-oriented mu'min, not nabija-focused. We don't care about the nabija in Islam at all. Isn't that right?
So he himself has said in his famous statement that Ma Mukallam Baina Tidei. Ma Mukallam Baina Tidei. Ma Mukallam Baina Tidei. الله سبحانه وتعالى في يوم القيامة لا يسأل عن أحد هل قمت هل حصلت النتيجة في حياتك أم لا أبدا. Allah is not going to ask nor a single human on the day of judgment, did you manage to achieve the results in your life? No way. All the prophets of God strive to establish Islamic government, isn't it right? All the messengers of Allah strive. So not everybody manages to establish an Islamic government. Well, we call all the prophets and messengers to be successful still. Isn't that right? Doesn't matter if they achieved the result in their lifetime or they did not achieve. The same result for Imam Mahdi al-Islam is going to achieve tomorrow when he appears.
Allah!
If our communities in the Middle East had realized this concept of Imam Hussein al-Islam, this concept of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that we need to focus on the fariba and forget about the natija, we would have a different destiny. Our mustaqbal, our whole destiny would have been changed for izzat and sharaf and nobility, not zillat and humiliation day after day for Islam. This is what you're witnessing today. You know, you open up the TV, radio, internet, you find a bunch of Muslims are killed and jailed and tortured. It's the daily routine of the Shia community. Daily routine of the Muslim community that we are. Isn't that insult? What else you call insult? And we are here to talk about Imam Hussein al-Islam, who said, Hayhat min al-Zillah.
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 For the destruction of all the oppressors, please recite loud salat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we find that Hayhat min al-Zillah means Zillah is far away. Hayhat. You know, Bawda. Zillah is far away from me. Zillah cannot come close to me. This is Imam Hussein al-Islam. His uprising is all about izzat and sharaf. You know, in Arabic, the word izzat, in the literal sense of the word, you know, we use the word for that soil which is so hard, no matter how much you dig up, you're not going to penetrate into that land. That piece of land which is so hard and tough in its surface, no matter how much you try to dig it up, you don't penetrate into it. That land is called, that this is Aziz. This is respectable, literally speaking. So our scholars say that a person who is called Aziz, is not the value of Islam. The one who is Aziz, having respect and respect, it means that you are unpenetrable. No zalim, no tahut, no kufr, no shirk, and no nifaq can make zero change in your value system, in your quality of life.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Amen!
If you find that our qualities of life can be changed, I can send my son, my daughter to a university, and after 1.5 years I can find my son transforming into a different individual. Right? That means we are not Aziz. We don't have Izzat and Sharaf. Because there are so many changes taking place in the spirituality. Mu'min, al-mu'minu, al-mu'minatu, a'azzu min al-mu'min. The hadith of Abu Hurairah says, a mu'min woman has more Izzat than a mu'min man. Al-mu'minatu a'azzu min al-mu'min. Wal-mu'minu a'azzu min al-kibrit al-ahmar. Faman ra'a minkum al-kibrit al-ahmar. A mu'min woman is more honorable than a mu'min man. And a mu'min man is more honorable and more aziz and dignified than al-kibrit al-ahmar. Al-kibrit al-ahmar in Arabic is one of the rarely found minerals. Faman ra'a minkum al-kibrit al-ahmar. Which one of you saw that? And that's a rare mineral, in other words. So a woman who is Aziz and dignified and honorable is so rare. That's how a woman is. And a woman is even further dignified than a woman man. That's how a woman is supposed to be. You know? Imam Khalil Islam says that
Isn't that right? A mu'min is more azim, more honorable than a mountain.
Didn't we learn moments ago that the meaning of azim is that a land is so tough and hard that you cannot penetrate? So Imam Sahib Islam is teaching us that that's how a mu'min is. A mu'min is so hard to penetrate into his soul. Nothing of external influences can change his pattern of life. He is unpenetrable. He influences others. He inspires others. He can never be inspired from any person or any peer pressure or anybody else or any disinformation flow from the media or anything you name it. That's how a woman is. That's how we want to be. That's how our kids should be. Unpenetrable in their policies of life and their value system. So Imam Sahib Islam says that Mu'minu a'azzu min al-jabal. Mu'min is harder than a mountain. فَإِنَّ الْجَبَلْ تُسْتَقَلُّ مِنْهُ بِالْمَعَادٍ وَإِنَّ الْمُقِلَّ لَا يُسْتَقَلُّ بِدِينِهِ شَيْءٌ. Because from a mountain, minerals are taken out of it. So basically, mountain gets decreed. Whereas nothing gets decreased from a mu'min. That's where Allah wants to take us, to become aziz. So we find that this izzat comes when you hold izzat, you hold respect for Allah's ruling. He provides the izzat to you. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Isn't that right? Izzat entirely belongs to Allah and His Messenger and the Mu'mineen. You cannot get izzat from the kufr and shirk and nifaq. So they cannot provide izzat because they don't have the izzat themselves. There's a fake respect that you may find. Let's go for the real one, real thing. So we find that he announced another example from Paris, and Shahul Bakhtia announces that we are installing surface to air missiles on the Karabakh airport in Tehran. Is that right? So now, Quran has already made his announcement. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, whoever exercises taqwa and piety towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah provides makhrajan, his opening, gushaish. In Farsi we say gushaish, opening. Allah provides opening in the affairs. We need to have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَقُّهُ. Whoever has tawakkul on Allah, Allah is enough for him. That means we need to do our fariza towards Allah first and rely on the concept in Islam and then rely about the result. And you find that he announced that 9 weeks ago, and then we find that the airlines and us refused to provide any flights for him coming from Paris. Because there was no insurance company providing any insurance for any of those flights. Because the government there has announced they're going to blow up the plane there. How can any insurance company provide insurance for the flight? But the Quran has already made the announcement over Yastaqillah. Allah has His own ways, which are extraordinary and supernatural. Let's rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the result and don't even try to think about that domain. What is going to happen next? That's not even your business to think about in the media. If Imam Khalil Islam was Medina focused, he would stay in Medina. Isn't that right? Actually, if a person is Medina focused, he would end up doing bad at the Yazid. Because he wants to protect our life. Isn't that right? But Imam Khalil is not Medina focused, he's Fariza oriented. He doesn't care that he gets killed or not. He loves the Shahada. Isn't that just like his father has said, there's la'alfu ghazbatin bin tash, ahabbu ilayya min nitatin ala firash. 1,000 strikes with the sword are more beloved to me than dying on the bed. He's the son of that father.
Labbaik ya Hussein! Labbaik ya Hussein! Labbaik ya Hussein! Labbaik ya Hussein!
Shah Hussain.
And he says, مَنْ لَحِقَ بِي إِسْتَشْهَدَ وَمَنْ تَقَلَّفَ عَنِّي لَنْ يَبْلُغَ الْفَلَاحَ أَبَدًا.
Whoever gets along with me, whoever joins me, will become shaheed.
Not only he will become shaheed, and he knows that he's going to be shaheed, but everyone else who joins his caravan will also be shaheed. And whoever does not join the Imam, his destiny is also made clear. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنِّي, whoever turns away from me, لَنْ يَبْلُغَ الْفَلَاحَ أَبَدًا, he is never going to find success.
This is how Imam Hussain is, that we are talking about this personality in these nights.
But this requires giving talaq to this dunya. Isn't that right? In order to have a behavior, a policy and motive of focusing on fara'id and breaking away from the na'ij, focusing on the duties and not to think about the results of what we are doing, this kind of pattern and behavior requires that we give divorce to this dunya. These people are not ready to give divorce. So that's why some people try to mold the teachings of Islam to justify their personal evil practices. And some people take even one step forward. Okay, let's put a ban on all those ulama who talk about the political Islam. It is going to harm our relationship with kuffar.
Isn't that right? Take $250 to register a new organization. It's not a rocket science.
Isn't that right? Anybody can spend that much money to open a new organization and put the ban on all those scholars who talk about yoga first. And then we say that we care about Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, and you know, we want to be muntazir, awaiting for the Imam. Awaiting for the Imam to establish government and establish hukumat. And we put a ban on all those who talk about the Islamic political duties towards the Islamic hukumat. Look at the hypocrisy. That's why there is no productivity. That's why the centers and some centers and organizations have no productivity. Actually, the graph is towards the minus and negative. We are losing fractions of our generations. Isn't that right? They no longer have izzat and sharaf and nobility. So we find the whole concept of tawakkul.
Hatim al-Aqam was leaving for a travel, and he asked his wife, so let me just tell you what
happened in Tehran first, that when he comes back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to somebody to charter the plane and pay several folds of the money for insuring that flight, and when he comes, you find that the fame of the army gone, nobody knows. The army that was sent by Shahpur Bakhtiar to be on the air force, and nobody knows where did the army went, because there were 4.5 million human beings, the ocean of humans, who came to welcome him at the air force.
Takbir! Allah Akbar!
God knows where all the service who are here gone. God knows. Where is the army gone? God knows. We have a universal principle in the world, brothers and sisters. You can never fight the masses. That's what Imam Rahimahullah used to say. We need to spread awareness. The best tool we have is educating the people, spreading the awareness. What the kuffar and munafiqeen are worried about is the political Islam. Not the Islam of kuffar. They were praying and fasting and doing hijab and khums and hajj, but you are doing khiyanat towards the walayat of Muzir Zahil and walayat of Khutayn Ali. That's the kind of Islam the kuffar wants you to have. The kahus are okay with that Islam.
Is that right? Is that right? They didn't put a ban on praying Salat and Jumu'ah
inside Israel. There are people who are praying Salat and Psalm and all that inside Israel. Is that right? Nobody bothers you to practice that kind of Islam.
For the freedom of Baitul Muqaddas, please say Raul Salwar.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What the kuffar and munafiqeen are bothered about is the political Islam. The Islam of Walayat. The Islam of Walayat
like my teacher Ayatollah Tabari Abuli Hafizahullah was saying, that on the day of Ghadir, when Allah sent down the ayat of Quran, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Radhitu Lakum Al-Islam Deena, what Allah is saying, one of the benefits we get from this ayat, Al-Islamu Al-Wala'i Huwa Al-Mardi Indallah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The Wala'i Islam, Islam of Wala'iyat of Imam Ali, is the one with which Allah is pleased. Islam of Walayat. What is Islam minus Walayat? What is announced by the ayat? It has to be crystal clear in the mind. The political Islam with the siyasat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, siyasat al-Alawiyya, the adilana, justful qualities of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the Walayat of Imam Ali. Islam of Walayat of Ahlul Bayt is the Islam with which Allah is pleased, and Islam became complete with the Islam of Walayat, not Islam minus Walayat.
Nare Hadari!
Nare!
Subhanallah. Islam of Walayat. But you will find there are so many sentences. What?
Non-political Islam of Kufa. We want our Shias to be like Habib ibn Mawahir al-Asadi, Salamullahi alayhi, who not only pray the fast, but also serve the walayat of the Imam. Not the Islam of those people who are thousands of people, 18,000, and some of the history says 24,000 writing letters to Imam. You are the Imam, come to lead us in Kufa, praying and fasting and hijab and khumt and everything. When it comes to walayat, their behavior is pathetic.
Their behavior is shameful.
And we said, la'nat. And Ziyarat of Ashura, and the Ziyarat of Warif that we read on Thursday, every time proudly we send la'nat on the people of Kufa who are practicing non-political Islam. Islam without the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt. This kind of prayers need to be wrapped up and thrown back in the faces of the people. Allah doesn't need these kind of keeping with you. The prayers with which Hussein can be killed, this prayer is not considered to be salat in the eyes of Allah. The prayers with which can combine with the qatl of Hussein, this salat and this song and this hajj and this zakat and this hijab and this khum, keep it with you. If it allows the Imam Hussein's walayat to be betrayed, Allah does not need these ibadat and worship. So this is why people are natija focused. Why we are discussing all that? Because people of Kufa were natija focused. They were caring if we support Imam Hussein and Muslim Nati, he will get killed. Natija focused, not fariza oriented.
So we find that in our, in the, what I'm saying to you is that Malik Jinnah, the Hatim al-Atam was about to leave his home, and he said to his wife, well, how much nafaka? It's wajib in the husband to provide nafaka and expenses for the wife.
So he said, how much nafaka should I eat for you?
Her wife was Ahlul Ma'rasha. She was a very well, versed woman in Islamic values. And she replied back, well, leave as much nafaka as the magnitude of my life which is remaining. He says, how can I know how much life is remaining for you?
I don't know that information. And she replied, then وَقِّلْهُ إِلَى مَنْ يَعْلَى. Then leave it to the one who knows it.
Subhanallah.
That was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then some of the women came from the Iran, from the neighbors. You know, there are some women who gossip and these things, you know. Your husband left and he didn't care about your nafaka and this and this and this. You know, and she said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَقِلًا دَفِشْكُ مَا كَانَ رَافِقًا. He himself was a consumer of the risk of Allah. He was not the risk provider. The risk provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Man ahabba an yakuna aqwa al-nas falyatawakkal ala Allah. Allah wants to be the most strongest of all the humans. the strongest of all the people, they should have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of relying on the asbab and ilal, one of the urfa was traveling in the desert, having no animal to ride, no food with him. And one of the people, one person was passing by, and he saw this person there in the desert, alone, no companion, no food, no animal to ride, nothing. He said, "Where is your, where is the zad and rahila? The necessary stuff that we need in there, food and all that. And your animal that you need to ride on." That, "I don't have none of those things. Whenever I need, Allah helps me." And he didn't buy what the scholar said. He said, "Okay, give me some water. I need some water." And he stretched his hand and brought water and settled in the water. Nice cold, good water in the burning heat of the sands. And he was shocked. He was shocked. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always never leaves his beloved servants stranded without helping. So he finds, "Why, what's the reason? How come you got those levels in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And he said, "Azkuruhu fil khalawat, yazkuruni fil falawat." I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the loneliness, and he remembers me in the desert. And you remember Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always remembers you. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
One of the scholars was telling the story that a person had a lot of members in his family. Nowadays, unfortunately, I have to say unfortunately, we find there are less kids. People are going for only one or two kids. In old times, we find that was not the tradition in our Islamic countries. In our Islamic families, people were having larger families. And there was much more barakat in the lives as compared to the barakat that we find nowadays. In old days, there were no pampers to be changed. Isn't it right? You change the pamper and throw it away, trash it. They used to just clean the kids every now and then. Isn't it right? And there was no cold water, there was no hot water either. There were no geysers to warm up the water. The moms used to clean all those things with cold water. But still, how much, what is lacking today, brothers and sisters, is the lack of understanding of the religion and lack of struggle and patience. If we had the correct understandings of Islamic concepts, and we have the correct struggle and patience, higher level of struggle and patience, then we will be resilient on the various situations that we face. So yeah, what I'm saying is that one of the scholars was saying that this person said that, "Well, I have a large family and I find it very difficult to afford and spend money and take care of the needs of this large family." So this scholar replied back to him, "Okay, throw out all those members from your house whose rizq is not on Allah. All those people in your family whose rizq is not on Allah, throw them out of your house." And he realized, I said something wrong. Don't you believe that the rizq of all is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's one of the very major factors why some of the youth are not marrying timely nowadays. It's our responsibility in order to stop the kids running away with kuffar. And ending up, I'm not using the word marrying with kuffar, there is no marriage with kafir in Islam. We don't marry with kafir, that would be a zina. We don't marry with kuffar. There is no aqdul da'im with those people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not called marriage. One of the reasons why some youth are running away with kuffar is because of the high mahr that some people have raised. And the demands that they have been doing, and the unnecessary things that come in, that we care about the expenses and money and finances, by not believing in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says in the Holy Quran, إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. If they are poor, Allah will make them free from His fadl, and Allah is wasi'un 'aleem. You don't have trust in what Allah has said. The trust is missing. The tawakkul in Allah is missing. That's why we are not doing the fariza. Those who do the fariza, they will always have the tawakkul as well. Is that right? Because that's also part of our list of duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have tawakkul in Him. So we find that this pattern has been backfiring our own selves. Hazrat Umm Ayman, salamullahi alayha, is one of the great ladies of Islam, and Prophet had said in his hadith that she is a lady that belongs to the Jannah. Prophet gave her the basharat and glad tidings and good news of belonging to paradise in her own lifetime. There are some personalities in Islam who were giving the basharat and good news that they belong to Jannah. And Umm Ayman is one of those great ladies of Islam. Just like Salman and Abu Dharr and Nattar. Prophet had said in his hadith, Al-Jannatu tashtaqu ila arba'atin, Ali wa Salman wa Abu Dharr wa Nattar. Jannat is mushtaq, is eager. Jannat is eager towards four. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, and Salman, and Abu Dharr, and Nattar. So, Umm Ayman had said that if something happens to Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha, she's not going to stay in Medina. She will migrate towards Makkah. And the same happened after the Shahadat of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha. She went outside. And the same was mentioned in the history. She went outside, she had nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Obviously, you can only survive for as long, and when you get thirsty, but these personalities who are awliyaullah, they don't have any inclination towards Allah. That's the point to note. They always turn towards Allah alone. So there's a fine line between denying the causes and effects theory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a cause and effect theory, sabab and musabba. Every effect has a cause. And Allah is running the whole universe through the cause and effect theory that He Himself has laid down. And He is the one who is Khaliq al-Asbab, creator of all the causes, and He is the one who is Musabbib al-Asbab, that means the one who arranges all the causes to bear the desired effects. But despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, like the hadith of the Prophet says, أَبَاللَّهُ أَنْ يُجْرِيَ الْأُمُورِ إِلَّا بِأَسْبَابِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects to run the things except through its means. So everything has a cause, everything has a means. We need to obviously reach the effect through the means. Despite of all that, but we are not supposed to rely on the means. There's a fine line between these two things. Like my teacher was saying in his tafsir, that Rafdul Asbab and Nafyul Ilal. There are two things. Some people deny the concept of cause and effect totally. So Nafyul Ilal, this is called denying the concept of cause and effect theory. This is a qawlul jahil. An ignorant person can deny it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has made causes, and He is the creator of causes, and He is the one who provides the effect to those causes. So if somebody denies that I don't even believe in that, that's a statement of a jahil and ignorant person. But Rafdul Asbab, that means rejecting the asbab, the causes, not relying upon the causes, refusing to turn towards the, towards reliance in the causes, is the causal arif. This is what the ulama and those personalities who have the ma'rifat and in depth recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who say that statement. When we believe in the causes, but we don't rely on the causes. There's a fine line between these two things. Believing in that, but not relying on the causes. We rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Umm Ayman turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says that I am the Khadima, I am the maid and servant
of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And obviously she was very thirsty, she wanted water. And the narration says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down water for Ayman, and she drank from that water in the desert, and she did not become thirsty for next 7 years in her life. He said, Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
People want to protect the causes so they can achieve the result, achieve the effect.
No, we don't protect the causes. Allah is the one who takes care of us. We don't rely on the causes. Protecting the causes and piling up the causes means we are relying on that. Is that right?
Imam Ali Rahman says, learn tawakkul from a dog. Sadaqah Amir al-Mumin al-Islam. Certainly he said the truth. Nothing but the truth. Learn tawakkul from a dog. Because dog, when he goes out, he doesn't care about carrying the food of tomorrow with him.
That's how the dog is. He never carries the food of tomorrow.
مَنْ اِحْتَمَّ بِرِزْقِ غَلٍ لَنْ يَبْلُغَ الْفَلَاحَ أَبَدًا.
Whoever gives importance to tomorrow's sustenance, you know, if somebody is mahzoon. Here, the word اِحْتَمَّ means becoming mahzoon. It is hum.
If somebody becomes mahzoon and sorrowful, it's so much, you know, giving attention to that about tomorrow's
risk. This guy will never succeed. Never. Unless you break away from this style of thinking. Stop becoming sorrowful about tomorrow's risk. This is going to block you from your duties. Why don't you realize that?
And if there is in the history that some mu'min,
not a poor guy, he earned one dirham. One dirham is a very small amount, isn't that right? Dirham was silver coin, dinar was gold coin, 10 dirhams equal Madina. He earned one dirham. Returning back to his poor family on the way, he discovered one Hashimiyya Sayyida, one Sayyid woman who was needing money. He gave away this one dirham that he earned throughout his day, he gave it to her. There's a lot of tawab in Islam if we support the zurriyat of Ahlul Bayt and Salam, the lineage of Ahlul Bayt. If you support any woman, it's a tawab. Every woman has respect. Especially those who belong to the lineage of Rasulullah, because obviously you are not only respecting him, but you are actually respecting the lineage of the Prophet and obviously respecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from whose lineage the person belongs. This has much more to it, more than just iman. So he came away with the whole income of one day, one dirham. Poor guy, he himself was poor. Now after giving away in the respect of the zuriyat and lineage of Rasulullah, because that woman was a Sayyidah woman. After giving away, you know, obviously he felt embarrassed to go to his home. Obviously his wife and kids. How he's going to face his wife, because he is not bringing nothing, no bread to the house. And the narration says that this guy, when he was walking in the street, somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the arrangement of Allah. Allah sent somebody with a sealed letter. There was a letter that was handed over by somebody to him in this alley. Unknown person showed up, handed over a letter to him, which mentioned that such and such uncle of yours passed away in Misr, in Egypt. And he was somehow related to you, and he mentioned in his wasiyat and his final will that I have no other inheritor other than this guy who is living here. And you are now going to inherit 100,000 dinars, 100,000 gold coins from that person.
We need to have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have tawakkul, if we have tawakkul, we get the result. That's how we achieve the result. Through tawakkul, after doing our fariza. So Imam Ali al-Islam didn't care about the natija.
Imam Hassan alayhi wa sallam, Imam Hussain alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not care about the Nadija. They were fasting on the day. And when the time of iftar comes, somebody knocks at the door of Ahlul Bayt, door of Imam Ali alayhi wa sallam. They said, I am a miskeen, destitute, broke person, nothing to eat. All of them were fasting. If a sinner like me were to there in their place, maybe I would think, what am I going to eat? I'm fasting too. That's my necessity of life. It's not Israa. Isn't it right? There are so many ta'wilat and excuses that I can furnish in front of myself. Isn't it right? But Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam belongs to the level of Isaar. That means ignoring your own necessity and giving preference to the needs of others over your own needs.
يُثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَفَافًا. That's how Ahlul Bayt and Islam were. That's how their true followers were. They were doing ithar, giving preference to others.
So Imam Ali, not just Imam Ali, but Hazrat Fatima, and Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein, and also Hazrat Tibba, salamu alayhi alayhim ajma'een. All of them gave away their food, their bread, to them with keen person. And what is narrated in the history is that they did not keep half of the bread for themselves. That's another thing. Some people are such, they may keep half to themselves and give away the rest of the half.
You don't get that from Tawaf either if you do that. So where could you have to give the half? But that's not the Hajj Tawaf.
They gave away all the what they had and they ended up drinking water only. And slept without eating food. And the next day that they were fasting again. And the next day when the time of iftar comes, another person knocks at the door of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he says that I am a yatim, I am an orphan. And I have nothing to eat. And again the same thing happens.
And if sinner like me was there, maybe I would say,
I already sacrificed yesterday. Enough is enough. And Imam Ali didn't think like those lines. Again, all the members of his family, including their servant Hazrat Tibba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives away the entire food, not partial donation. And again, they slept without eating food. See, Imam Hussain is somebody who has been brought up in this kind of household of Isaar. This is about talaq of dunya and relying on Allah, doing tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third day arrives and the history says that again they were fasting on the third day. And when the time of iftar came, another person knocked the door and said, I am an asir. I was a captive, I was just freed from the jail. I got it freed. And all of them, it gave away their entire food to death. A seal person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down not just one word or two verses. Allah sent down the entire Surah Al-Dahr, which we call Surah Al-Insan as well, in the favor of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi, was saying that Hazrat Tibba salamu alayha is part of the fadilat of this surah.
Hadari!
That's how the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are. Because they don't pile up the food or the causes to them so that they can achieve the results themselves. No,
they never do that. When there was a drought, a famine, cut taking place in Medina,
and people were buying food left and right to pile up the food in their houses. And somebody came to Imam Salih alayhi salam, why don't you also buy things, you know, food? Just like the people are doing. And Imam Ali, what did he say? Nashtari ma'al muslimina yawman bi yawm. We are going to buy along with the muslimin on daily basis. And we are not going to pile up the food with us. It's haram in Islam. In the time of need and famine, you buy things of necessity and you pile up more than your necessity of life. That's haram.
It's a big sin in Islam.
But some people are like this, behaving like ants. This is how the ants do. And they deserve to be respected in the form of ants. Because ants in their own pileth the food for long duration. They don't care about the rest.
Some people are ants in their spirituality. They are human. Sarva.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always helps those who turn towards Him after doing their fariza.
We need to keep these values alive in ourselves.
Values of tawakkul in Allah.
And if the values are alive, there is a hope that a person will be guided, even though we sometimes we do sins. Isn't that right? But if we do sins and we have the values alive in our soul, there is a hope we can be guided.
And the same hope was there for Hur on the occasion when he blocked the way for Imam Husayn ibn Ali alayhi wa sallam. That was a big crime. It's a big insult that he did towards the son of the Prophet, that he blocked the way of Imam Husayn alayhi wa sallam. And not just that, but he put his hand over the reins of the horse. This is, in the Arabic culture, is considered to be an insult of somebody. They don't allow him to move freely. And that's where when Hur said, "You're playing behind Imam Husayn alayhi salam." When he came at the time of Zuhr alive, the history says that Hur did not lead the prayers of Zuhr himself. How can he lead? He thought to himself, how can he lead? When Imam Husayn alayhi salam is there, he was not agreeing to lead the prayers. So this is the nizah, this is the way of thinking. This is the way of thinking of the people of Kufa. Ready to pray behind the Imam, but their suyuf, their swords, their allegiance is towards the Tahoot. That was the lifestyle of the people of Kufa. Ready to pray behind Imam Husayn alayhi salam, but when it comes to serving the walayat, this government do you follow? They follow the government of Tahoot instead of the walayat and hukumat and governance concept of Imam Husayn. So, this is the Kufi lifestyle of those days. So we find that after praying, you find that obviously when the army of Hur arrived in this place and they blocked the way for Imam Husayn, at the time of their arrival they were all thirsty. They were coming, traveling in the desert, and you can easily get thirsty in the desert. And he said to Imam Husayn al-Islam, mentioned his thirst, and Imam asked Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas to provide water. Now the army of Imam Husayn, these few companions, handful of companions of Imam Husayn al Islam, they are serving water to the army of the enemy, Hur. Hur is part of the army of the enemy, isn't it right? Coming on behalf of Yazid. And it's the Ziyad Rahmatullah alayhi Imam. So Imam Husayn, look at his value system. And the person who is part of the army of Hur, who is standing at the end of the Saf, end of the ranks. He says, because they started to distribute water and one by one. So I was standing at the end. I thought, by the time my turn arrives and I get the water, you know, I would die. Because I'm standing at the end of the Saf. And as I was thinking on those lines, I saw that Imam Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam, he saw me. Imam Husayn noticed. So he says that I saw that Imam Husayn himself noticed me, and now Imam Husayn himself is bringing water for me. Who can imagine the azamat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam? Who can imagine the karamat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam? The sahawat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam? Imam Husayn himself is bringing water to the last person in the army of Hur. So now that after all that episode happened and Imam Husayn is about to continue his travel, that's when the Hur comes and grabs the reins of the horse and insulted Imam Husayn alayhi salam, and Imam gave that statement, Sakratka ummuka ya Hur. That means, may your mother sit in your sorrow. When do you have the sorrow? Then you die. That means what you did, in other words, makes you deserving to get to die. You don't deserve to live. You, what you did, you deserve to die from that behavior. And may your mother sit in the sorrow of your death. Look at what Imam Hussain said to her. فَلَنَكَ يُمَّكَ يَا حَرْ. And her was shaken by this sentence. Everything of the Masoom is full of hikmatul ilahiyyah and divine wisdom. Imam Hussain intentionally accepted this to her. And look at the reply of her. Her says, if your mother was not Fatimatul Zahra, if your mom was not Fatimatul Zahra, I would have said the same statement for her, but I cannot say it for her. So who was reminded by Imam Hussain that who are you insulting? Who are you serving as the Tahoot against the person who is the son of Fatimatul Zahra? Imam Hussain shook the cushions of her, and the same happened that when the night of Ashura, before Ashura arrived, and Imam Hussain is now isolated and surrounded by the enemies from all the sides, and in the Qiyam and tents of Imam Hussain, everyone is thirsty, and even the babies and kids are thirsty, and the voice of Al-Atash, you know, thirst, they are talking about their thirst. Everybody's kids are raising their voice because they are thirsty. They are screaming for thirst, out of thirst. So we find in that scenario, on the other side, Hur was still part of the enemy, part of the army of the enemy. He was way awake in his tent and walking from one side to the other, inside his own tent. He said he didn't go to sleep. How did he go to sleep? Imam Hussain already shook his conscience. Then his servant comes forward and he sees that my master is so much upset. I don't know what's the matter. He brings some water for Hur, and Hur just, you know, just strikes his hand and throws the water on the ground. The servant got upset, what happened? And he rushes towards, he goes towards the son of Hur. Now the son of Hur comes and he inquires from his dad, what's the matter? Why are you like this? And Hur, he grabs the hand of his son and he takes his son in the darkness of the night. He and himself and his son, they both go towards the Khaymah, Qiyam and tents of Imam Hussain and makes his son to hear the voices of thirst coming, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, coming from the Qiyam and tents of Imam Hussain. And he says to his son, do you hear these voices? He said, yes, I can hear. They are crying for thirst. And his Hur says, I am the one who is responsible for their thirst. It's me who is responsible for the thirst of Ahlul Haram, for the family of the Prophet. And how can Hur sleep in that situation? When the morning arrives, he asks his son to tie up his hands behind his neck. And his son does the same, because he has made up his mind that he is going to do the tawbah and he will do seek forgiveness from the son of Fatimatul Zahra, from Imam Hussain alayhi salam, seek forgiveness and join Imam Hussain alayhi salam and quit the army of Yazid. Who was finding himself between Jannat and Jahannam, between the heaven and the hell. Truly it was heaven and hell. So Hur, his son also says, I'm going to go with you as well. Then he asked his son to tie up his hand, and his son did the same. He tied up the hands of his father, and now both the son and the father are heading towards Imam Hussain. The narration says, when Hur arrived close to Imam Hussain in Islam, the members of Imam Hussain's camp look at the sahawat and generosity of Hussain ibn Ali. Imam Hussain's people move forward to do the istighbar, to welcome Hur. Isn't it right that Hur is a criminal? But see how Imam Hussain, look at the generosity, he's welcoming this person who is a criminal towards Imam Hussain. Look at the generosity of Imam Hussain. So Hur comes and he drops himself. He was a criminal, but now he came to drop himself on the feet of Imam Hussain. You know, and he says, that قَدْ كَانَ مِنِ الَّذِي كَانَ. Whatever happened from him, from me has happened. وَقَدْ جِئْتُكَ وَجِئْتُكَ مُوَاسِيًا بِنَفْسِي فَهَلْ تَرَى ذَلِكَ تَوْبَةً لِمَا كَانَ مِنِّي. Whatever happened has happened. I came now. I came to sacrifice my life for your sake. So if I sacrifice my life for your sake, in other words, is it going to be considered as tawbah? If my tawbah be, you know, is it considered to be a tawbah if I sacrifice my life for you? And look at the generosity of Imam Hussein. He didn't even talk about the crime of horror. He says the statement in Dil, which in Arabic we say to the guest, that is Imam Hussein, is accepting her as his guest. And Imam Hussein, he said, no, I'm not going to raise my head from your feet until you forgive me first. And we find Imam Hussein al-Islam forgives her. And now is the time, on the day of Ashura, when her comes to Imam Hussein and says that he please allow me to go for the jihad and sacrifice my life. And Imam Hussein did not allow her. How can Imam Hussein allow her to go? Because her is the guest of Imam Hussein al-Islam. Look at the generosity of Imam my Mawla. And then her insists to send his son. And Imam Hussein finally, he allows the son of her to go first. And the son of her went there. He did his jihad and fought against those arrogant and evil people. And finally, when the son was so much injured that he fell on the ground and he called his father, come for help. Imam Hussein, as soon as he learned that her son is calling his father, he didn't allow her to go there. Instead, Imam Hussein himself goes there to serve the son of her. I would like to say to Mawla that after a while, when Amin al-Akbar is going to fall down, who is going to help you? At that time, when Ali Akbar falls down over the ground, we find that after a while, that Hur goes and does his efforts and battle in jihad. And finally, at the time he fell down, he was unconscious. He was not in his conscience, he was unconscious. But the revised narration says, when he opened up his eyes, he discovered that his head is over the thigh of Imam Hussein. So Imam Hussein himself shows up, and basically Imam Hussein puts the head of Hur over his own thigh, and he finds that at that time, Imam Hussein has said the statement that Anta Hur kama tammatka ummuka. You are a free person, the Hur, like your mother has named you. Anta Hur fi dunya wal akhirah. You are a free person, you are Hur in dunya and akhirah. We find in some narrations it is narrated that Hur, when he fell down over the ground, he didn't know whether his tawbah, he was still so much, you know, feeling the shame that whether his tawbah was accepted or not. But when he found that his head is over the thigh of Imam Hussein, that way he became mutmain. So we find there was the blood coming down, gushing out of the forehead of Hur. And look at the generosity again of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. As soon as he discovered his blood coming out of the head of his forehead of his guest, Imam Hussein takes the handkerchief of his mother Fatima al-Zahra and ties up the handkerchief over the forehead of Hur. This is the generosity of Imam Hussein. I would again like to say to my Mawla that after a while, Ali ibn al-Asqar is going to become shaheed, and a three-pointed arrow is going to strike the neck of Ali Akbar. The poisoned three-pointed arrow. What are you going to die in the neck of Ali Akbar when the blood will come out from his neck?
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب منقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الشقاء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها فاستر المستودع فيها. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيما الولي الفقي قاعد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد واله الطاهرين. For the sake of all the mu'mineen, especially the families of shuhada and those mu'mineen who have requested, and all the mustada'afin and mahrumin and mazlumin in the Islamic Ummah, and all the mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially all of you who have hawa'ij, hajat, please recite the ayat al-kareema 5 times. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Amman yujibul mutsarra idha da'ahu yakshifu as-soo. Amman yujibul mutsarra idha da'ahu yakshifu as-soo. Amman yujibul mutsarra idha da'ahu yakshifu as-soo. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه يكشف السوء. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه يكشف السوء. اللهم صل على محمد.